Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm David Reed. The gang rape of a woman on a moving bus in New Delhi last December sparked a widespread debate about the safety of women in India. The attack killed a 23-year-old aspiring physical therapist and sparked nationwide protests, as well as stronger rape laws. Then, 1 month ago, the gang rape of a 22-year-old photojournalist while on assignment in Mumbai added fuel to the public debate. The attack on a photographer also led to protests around the country. But it also broke the code of silence around sexual harassment and violence that female journalists have faced while doing their jobs. That's what happened at DNA, the second most read English daily newspaper in Mumbai. A reporter from DNA will join our program today, along with a female newspaper editor from northern India and an investigative journalist who's also an award-winning human rights activist in Mumbai. We'll focus on the challenges female journalists face in the world's second most populous country. But first, World Watch, our summary of international news with Raymond Thungakar.
A team of international experts are helping Kenyan authorities investigate a bloody four-day siege in Nairobi's Westgate shopping mall. At a news conference, Kenya's interior minister said the country would receive assistance from the U.S., U.K., Germany, and the police agency Interpol. The Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the attack, which left nearly 70 dead. More than 300 people have been killed by a devastating earthquake that struck Pakistan on Tuesday. The magnitude 7.7 quake struck the western province of Balochistan, with tremors felt as far away as New Delhi. The earthquake was so strong that it reportedly created a mud island in the Arabian Sea. The Pakistani army is deploying additional troops to the region to aid in relief efforts. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is scheduled to meet with his Iranian counterpart today to discuss Iran's nuclear program. The two will be joined by foreign ministers from Britain, France, Russia, China, and Germany. This will mark the first direct meeting between a U.S. Secretary of State and Iranian foreign minister in 6 years. German Chancellor Angela Merkel was re-elected on Sunday to her third term. Merkel's Christian Democratic Union Party and its allies won nearly 42% of the popular vote, giving them 311 out of 630 seats in parliament. Merkel is the first European leader to be re-elected after the beginning of the financial crisis in 2008. A jailed member of the Russian punk rock band Pussy Riot was moved to solitary confinement on Monday after pledging to go on a hunger strike to protest poor living conditions in the prison where she's serving her sentence. In an open letter published by The Guardian, Nastya Talatanikova said she is forced to work 16 hours a day and is not allowed more than 4 hours of sleep at night. Talatanikova and another band member were jailed on hooliganism charges after an anti-Putin performance in a cathedral last February. And that's it for World Watch.
Thank you, Raymond. On the line now from Mumbai are DNA reporter Yogesh Pawar and Tista Setalvad. She's an investigative reporter, author, and award-winning social and human rights activist. And joining us from the northern province is Sunita Aaron, a senior editor with the Hindustan Times, an English-language daily newspaper with nearly 4 million readers. Welcome to Global Journalist.
Thank you.
So earlier this month, the four men who were found guilty of fatally raping the young woman on a bus in New Delhi were sentenced to death by hanging. Yogesh, could you give us an update on the case against the suspects in the photojournalist's rape case?
Well, in that case, given the kind of outrage that was already there in the country and in the city itself after the Delhi incident and the glare that has been on such incidents, the police moved rather swiftly and all the suspects were quickly nabbed and in a very swift operation, in spite of having very few clues to go by, and the police moved very fast. But now they've established a fast-track court, and the fast-track court has set itself a deadline of 90 days to hear the case in. And the police say they have a watertight case against these suspects. Mm-hmm. And they will be able to ensure that justice is done to this survivor.
And Sunita, did coverage of this case reach your part of the country?
Yes. It was covered everywhere because it was a very gruesome crime. It was not only rape, the way that girl was butchered, you know, basically. And I think that that brought the focus of the government on the rape laws, and that helped in getting these four guys punished. Having said so, I feel that whole lot of cases, such cases go unreported when they happen in smaller cities.
Right.
Because the focus of the media, the national media, is not there. It was basically the action happened because of the media and because of the public pressure, not because the government or the administration wanted to take any action. It was because of the pressure of our activists, about you know, the media covered it extensively across India, and also because of the public pressure. But I really wish that such type of pressure can be built when such incidents happen in smaller cities also.
Right. And Tista, I'll ask you to comment on that as well. But first, I wanted to I've read that the country's National Crime Record Bureau says crimes against women have increased 7% since 2010 in India. And the number of rapes reported has also risen. Tista, has it become less safe for women in India? And secondly, for female journalists in particular?
I wouldn't say necessarily that it's less safe, but I think there are greater risks involved now with technology and violence being the order of the day. But I'd like to just pick up on what Sunita and Yogesh said, and particularly Sunita's talking about the lack of focus on what's happening in the rural areas and the smaller mm-hmm. towns. And I think we need to, I mean, while the media played a sterling job when it came to the Delhi and the Mumbai incident, mm-hmm. I think we need to introspect a little bit, and I consider myself as part of the media, as to why we are not able to do justice through coverage outside the larger cities. Are we too market-driven? Are we too corporate-driven? Because I think individual reporters want to go. But somehow they're not given the mandate by their organizations, and therefore these focuses are often missed. I remember one case of this Dalit family that was butchered. It's called the Khailangi rape case in 2006.
Okay.
120 kilometers from Nagpur, and it got hardly any national coverage.
Yogesh, do you...
I remember this incident very well because, you know, Nagpur, it is a central town of India. And none of the journalists there decided to go there and investigate this incident. It was brushed aside as a small crime brief. And I was one of the first national journalists. I used to be with a television channel then. And I was one of the first national journalists to go there. A woman, just because she was from the scheduled caste, from a lower caste, the upper caste wanted to grab her land. And when she resisted, she and her daughter were raped. Mutilated very badly, murdered and mutilated, and their dead body was dragged through the whole village. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the kind of barbarism that was involved?
That's terrible.
In spite of that, it took a long while for the media to even wake up to the fact that something like this had happened.
Sunita
is right about this, that these incidents do uh-huh. not get as highlighted as much. And the worst is when men in uniform and hoodlums belonging to various political parties go around being involved in crimes against women like this. These are very often sought to be hushed up. As Tista herself has fought rather valiantly against the hegemony of the state, if one may call it that. So if you see in Gujarat during the riots, the kind of horror that was unleashed against women, some of these cases have to be transferred out of that state.
Now, Sunita, I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned this earlier, this increase in the number of rape cases in India, do you think it's because they're starting to be reported now more? Is that possible? That people are coming forward?
I think so. Yes, I personally feel, because I'm not too much of a data person. I don't believe in figures so much. But definitely now women are more gutsy to report, to fight. There is less stigma. I will not say there is no stigma attached to rape cases, but there is less stigma. Earlier, parents wanted to brush us, brush under the carpet such cases, and they didn't want the daughters, the people to know that it has happened with their daughter or somebody they know or a friend or a wife or somebody. But now people are willing to come and talk to the people, go to the court, fight the cases there. So there is a difference. Otherwise, like in a state like northern India, this Uttar Pradesh, where there has been so much of feudalism, the girls were picked up, they were taken away by the upper caste people. Dalits suffered so much. But those cases went away unreported. And it became a part of some research somewhere. But otherwise, if you see it in the police files, such cases hardly figured. But now, I think our low sections are getting a voice, and this is a very good thing which is happening, but there has to be an end to such cases.
Right.
There has to be an end to.
Tisa, let's put this in perspective. Now, you've been a journalist for quite a long time. You started out as a reporter. In your own experiences, how bad was it in the early years, and has it gotten better to be a female journalist in India?
I would say that I remember we formed the Women and Media Group way back in 1984, and the issues there were the condition of the working women journalists and the way women were represented in the media, and we had our seniors and we ourselves were trying to analyze and monitor some of this. But it's very difficult to say whether things have gotten worse or better, because at one level, when you have a 23-year-old daughter, which I do, I just feel she's living in more dangerous times than I was. Mm-hmm. And I was a reporter who was on the beat for 15 years. I didn't have the security of a vehicle or like any of the larger newspapers. We went by foot, we went by train, we went by ST bus. And we covered pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas today you find this young photojournalist in the city of Mumbai experiencing what she did. So it's very difficult to answer that question holistically. But I think, technology and the access to arms and a certain impunity that we have to violence in general has made it much more difficult for women in general and girls in general.
And I would say, David,
yes,
if I can come in there.
Yes.
While there has been a beginning of change is what we see around, but I just feel that we have a really, really long distance to go in terms of right from the kind of language that is used to cover incidents where women have to face harassment or sexual crime. Mm-hmm. If you see the kind of language that is employed, then that actually is a dead giveaway as to the kind of mindsets that still prevail in newsrooms. For example, a woman being the center of unwelcome attention on the street where she has to face something obscene being said to her or wolf whistles, then she it's still being called eve teasing.
Right.
The very fact that a word like that is used connotes that it's something very harmless and something to be, it's still comes from this mindset where the lady is protesting far too much.
Right.
It comes from that kind of a mindset. Whereas actually what this amounts to is harassment, and if the police and if the judicial system and the law process was able to ensure women that action would be taken like it is there in the law and that was upheld, then maybe we'll be able to curb this. But right now, if the media itself goes around reporting incidents like this with this kind of language, then it comes to watering it down and taking away some of the seriousness of what's actually some of the most unacceptable, heinous thing to happen.
Right. Sunita...
David, I'd like to add one thing to what he said. What is happening is, as girls are progressing and they're coming out, the mindsets have not changed. Now, we have something called khaps and panchayats. Now, suddenly we hear more of, these diktats coming out, don't wear jeans, don't use cell phones. Recently, we had problem in western part of our state because the two communities are clashing and they're using women as their target. So the eve-teasing cases have gone up. That there are intercaste marriages which the society there, conservative society, is not able to accept. So somewhere there is a retaliation to women coming out and going forward. This is how I look at it.
If I may come in here.
Tistak?
Basically, I think we're also in the middle of some sort of real transition. you have young women actually, even after they are sometimes survivors of brute violence, like you had in the Mumbai case, you know, speaking out very, very courageously and said that we don't want to be treated as a victim, we want to be treated as a survivor. And it's not the end of life and we need to move on.
Yeah.
And yet you have a large section of the political class which will refer to them as living corpses. So I think we are really in a cusp and a transition society where a whole section of our girls and women are surging ahead, you know, grabbing their futures, you know, asking to be treated with respect. And yet within the family, society, and even politically, we haven't made that transition.
Yeah.
So these
the sooner men kind of wake up to the fact and smell the coffee that there are women who are now following the like role models like Teesta herself, who is joining us here on this show, you know, and are willing to not assert themselves and fight for their space, and then I think the sooner men come to terms with that, the better for them. Because it seems like they're having considerable difficulty in understanding that we're no longer living in the 18th, 19th century where the woman was supposed to be at home and, you know, raise your children. That cannot happen, and the clock has moved on. It cannot go back to what it was.
Yogesh, can I break in here for a second, Yogesh, and ask you about this new group, Men Against Rape and Discrimination, a campaign that kicked off earlier this year in response to these rape cases. Do you think that is this what you're talking about, is trying to change the mindset?
Well, this is, you know, MARD that you're talking about, that a film star here, Farhan Akhtar, has started, is one such initiative. There's another Men Against Violence, MAVA. There's another association which has been doing this. But these are still examples of far and few in between. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you see the kind of language, for example, as a man, I mean, when I'm in, even with some journalists, and as when we're sitting together, you know, the people may sort of brush it off as men talk, but, you know, the kind of references that some men will choose to make about even their own colleagues sometimes shocks you as to wondering what is going on exactly, that is going wrong with our with the way we've been brought up, our upbringing, our education, our exposure, and what is the value system that we are being given, that we bring this to the table with us to the space that
we are talking about mindsets. I'm just reading a report that has landed on my laptop. It's from a developed state like Punjab, where now the Khap Panchayats, the political class is supporting the Khap Panchayats, and now they're going to keep an eye on the girls who go to colleges, you know, and also see where they go to get their mobiles charged, where they get their photocopies done, how do they use their phone. You know, you are fighting such deep-rooted, mindsets. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult till the political class and the judiciary also gets active. How do you change the rule of these cops? And I somehow can't understand how can they keep an
eye on
the girls. Teesta
can add to this on how the even sometimes judges have said some very disparaging things against women advocates. Please, Teesta, please tell.
No, not only against women advocates. I remember one horrific case which revolved around the one outstanding woman social worker from Rajasthan, who is from the villages. Yogesh will know this case. It was the Bhavari Devi case.
Yeah.
And she became a victim of rape because she was working against child marriage.
Yeah.
So rape was used as reprisal against her, and she was courageous enough to go to court.
Okay.
And the Rajasthan High Court, in a shocking judgment, actually said it's not possible that ever an upper caste man would rape a lower caste woman.
Yeah, that was shocking.
And it's been happening for centuries.
And
they actually said, the words were like, I mean, if the upper caste don't even touch the lower caste, so how can it be that they may have raped you?
I shared on this program that one of the slogans of the Dalit women's movement, of which I'm proud to be a part, is that untouchable by day and touchable by night.
I know.
Now Teesta, let's when I get, I would like to ask you about what you think should be done from this point to try to attack this problem. But before we continue our discussion, I want to remind everyone that you can view or listen to this program anytime by downloading our podcasts at globaljournalist.org. You also can find interesting articles, photos, and interviews related to our program on our website. This week, our website features an infographic on sexism in India's workforce and a timeline on major laws that have helped women make inroads in the country's media establishment. Please send us questions or comments via globaljournalist@kbi.org or our Facebook page. You could also follow us on Twitter at globaljourn. Tista, now, there has been some law, have been some laws passed in the past few years, and also this year the Workplace Discrimination Act. Well, is that going to help, or is, are those just empty laws?
As we know, laws by themselves are not good enough. You have to have the enabling provisions to enable young girls, women, and their families to access the law. And that's where the problem arises, because the law and order machinery itself has a very, very gender-biased mindset. So here we are then now talking about police women and men who need to be sensitized. Then we are talking about judicial officers who need to be sensitized. And we are also talking about the family ourselves and how we bring up our boy children and our girl children. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really a fundamental issue in India, that we privilege our boy children from the day they're born. We actually bring them up as if they are, you know, they could do no wrong, whereas the girl is burdened with too much responsibility.
So
I think all these things need to be done, you know. And I really think the kind of language I heard spoken, and one is the always criticizing the media at other levels, but I was very refreshed to see after the December tragedy, ridiculous sexist statements against young women were not permitted by the young protesters. Mm-hmm. You know, they were outraged by it. And I think this is several steps forward.
And Yogesh, you wanted to add something?
I was just saying that as a parent and as someone who's been tracking this issue for many years, I just feel that while there is a lot that is being told to women, like, you know, even now, when it, the moment something like this happens, like recently there was this huge festival in Mumbai where they get an idol of Ganesh and he's installed for 10 days. And it was in that a photojournalist actually found a series of photographs of a girl being groped. This was after this whole outrage and outcry against this incident. Support the journalists,
yeah.
Yet this kind of this continues to happen. But I am just saying that, you know, the point is the when people, the protests, even some of the male journalists in the newsroom, this was done by another organization Midday, but when the male journalist took it, said, but then she shouldn't have gone to this area. That was the first reaction that, mm-hmm. that one heard. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to, it is high time we stop telling women about what they are wearing, where they are, and what times they come and when, how they sit.
Absolutely.
And stand or whatever. And we need to work with the young boy himself and start work with gender sensitizing him in every single thing that we do, right from the kind of toys we give them to the way they are spoken to, mm-hmm. to how we laugh at them if they cry. You know, all these things need to change. And unless and until we don't do that, then we are in for more trouble, because children are picking up from their adults what they see happening around them, and they role model themselves around the same young men that they see around. And so then we have an even larger problem, and then this will perpetuate. We are sort of caught in a vicious cycle like that.
Tista, have you noticed any change in the way women are portrayed in mass media, for instance, Bollywood, or is Bollywood perpetuating these stereotypes that you're...
Bollywood is doing both things, I think. I think there's certainly a lot of perpetuation of the stereotype, and then there are the occasional 5, 10, 20% of films that break away. So it reflects, I think, the cusp we are at and the kind of, you know, as a society, in fact, we live like a schizophrenic one. You know, there's a section of us which is breaking out, where girls are making their choices, are asking to be treated with dignity. Mm-hmm. And yet there's a whole other section out there which is not very happy with this situation.
And Sunita...
They seem to be stuck in the 18th century. And Tisa is right about the fact that Bollywood kind of very often has come out with some movies which actually end up glorifying rape. And they have gone out to be runaway hits. So I'm just saying that, you know,
who are these people who go around with candles and torches marching against this rape? And at this, these are the very same people who rush to cinema theaters to make these films runaway hits, which earn such a lot of money on at the box office. So this kind of schizophrenia cannot work. You will have to start taking a stand and say that enough is enough, and we will not let this go on.
And Sunito, do you agree that that Bollywood
part of the problem? I agree that somehow I come from a smaller town, so I feel the item numbers and the language that is being used, it's very sad. Then your television is portraying women as someone who only dresses up and cooks and conspires. Third, I personally feel that there is such good work being done. I would like to be a little more positive. I think women, despite all the odds, are doing fantastic job in small towns, in small villages, which need to be highlighted so that it encourages. And fourth, I personally feel that that women has to emerge as a pressure group, and women's safety has to come on the political agenda of this country. Then only we can find some change. Until unless women becomes a pressure group and she becomes a vote bank for some time and pressures the political parties to take the security on their agenda, we should not expect much change.
Let's wrap this up, Tisa, with a comment from you. Overall, are you optimistic that these horrible cases and the protests that have followed will lead to real changes in society there?
Some change, yes. But I think unless the same society that is outraged by Delhi and Mumbai also starts asking questions why so many Indians, particularly the better-off, well-off, upper-caste and upper-class communities, are killing girl children before they are born, unless those questions are asked, just talking about women's security later on is not going to help. Our census figures are showing that we are killing girl children before they are born, in large numbers.
That's terrible.
And this is not the poor of India. This is the rich privileged class.
Leave it to so I think
it's a connected issue. We can't just link it to security and leave it at that. It's how we look at our girls right up to when they are women and old women. Mm-hmm. And only if we look at it in this way are we going to be able to deal with it.
Okay. Well, let's leave that there. I appreciate the three of you for joining us for this discussion.
Can I add a line before you conclude? I just want to tell you that in a small place like this, 50% of my staff they are girls, and they work till late night. So you do see a forward movement.
Okay. Well, hope you and your colleagues stay safe out there, and I know that all of your media organizations are taking precautions on behalf of your employees.
Yes, okay. That we do.
So Global Journalist is produced by the Reynolds Journalism Institute and the Missouri School of Journalism. Joining us today were Hindustan Times editor Sunita Aaron, editor-activist Tista Setalvad, and DNA newspaper reporter Yogesh Pawar. Global Journalist is directed by Travis McMillan, audio by Pat Akers. Raymond Tungakar is our executive producer. Zahra Rasool was this week's lead producer. Join us again next week for another Global Journalist. I'm David Reed.